No debate, no bias, just the news. Brass Tacks with Zucker Jacob.
So that was the sound of massive tanks, state-of-the-art aircraft, missiles, all making their way down Chang'an Avenue right in the heart of Beijing. Those were the scenes at the annual parade of China's Independence Day, as it were, the National Liberation Day. But this year was extra special because this year happens to be the 70th anniversary of the founding of the People's Republic of China. Welcome to the Brass Tacks podcast. My name is Zucker Jacob. Weeknights at 9:25 on CNN News 18, where we just look at the news, cut out the debates, cut out the talking heads, and bring you the news and put it in context and perspective for you. The big story today, of course, coming from China. What a story it's been for the People's Republic. 70 years ago, Mao Zedong, leading a guerrilla army, overthrew Chiang Kai-shek and the former dispensation in China to found what is now known as the modern People's Republic of China, a communist state. And it had a pretty ordinary story for the first 30, 40 years of its existence, the modern People's Republic of China. There was the Great Leap Forward, there was the Cultural Revolution, but nothing really, you know, put this billion-plus populated country, this largest country on the planet, population-wise certainly, in the global headlines in a way that it has over the last 30 years, last 40 years or so, since 1978, since the reform and opening up that happened under Deng Xiaoping. And what a story it's been for the People's Republic. It's been in two parts, really, in that sense. There is the economic transformation, the phenomenal economic transformation that China has seen over the last 40 years. And at the same time, we've also seen the limits of what economic transformation can achieve with limited political transformation. We've seen the limits of that quite dramatically and quite drastically in the last few weeks, just around what's been happening in Hong Kong. So I'm going to deal with both of these parts today on Brass Tacks. But first, I want to talk about the economic transformation. Yes, other countries too have gone from being developing countries to developed over the course of a period of time, much of the Western world, whether it was Western Europe or later America post the Second World War, went from being developing countries to developed countries, largely on the back of an industrial revolution. The difference in China's case was the speed with which it has happened. In 30 years, for a country as big and vast as China to have lifted 400, almost 500 million people out of poverty, I think is a phenomenal feat. And the relatively limited time period in which it's achieved that makes it even more staggering. So in 40 years, lifting 400 million people out of poverty, no other country has transformed so much in such a short period of time. Like I said, whether it's the Western European countries or more recently, but after the Second World War, the transformation of the United States of America has happened over 50, 60, 70 years. In China's case, in 30 years, it has gone from developing country to now what is rightfully a middle-income country. And today, if you look at the parade that happened at the Chang'an Avenue, you had the Tiananmen Square on the one side, the Forbidden City, and then you had Mao's mausoleum on the other. And frankly, this is not Mao's China anymore. Today's China is Xi Jinping's China. It is a China that is assertive. It is a China that knows it is perhaps in the top two most important countries in the world right now. Certainly, the Chinese have every right to believe that after the United States of America, they are the numero uno country in the world right now. And the Chinese, whether it's the leadership, the political leadership, or whether it's ordinary people, they have this sense of, you know, they're on a trajectory where eventually they will beat the United States, certainly economically. I think by 2050, by the most conservative estimates, by 2050, China will become the largest economy in the world, overtake the United States. It could even possibly happen earlier. So yes, the transformation, the economic transformation of China has been incredible. And I keep saying this again and again, that India has a lot to learn from China there. India has a lot to learn from China on how to economically transform large swathes of people, masses of people, and give them better education, better job opportunities, simply a better shot at life. I think there's a great deal that India can learn from China's example. There is also the limits of what this rapid economic transformation can achieve. What has happened in China is what Western scholars were hoping, what policymakers in the West were hoping, was that as China transformed economically, there would be a demand that would come from within the Chinese people for more political freedom, for more political transformation in keeping with the economic transformation. And once you've tasted freedom, you cannot go back. Well, that hasn't quite played out according to plan. Certainly, what the Western world was hoping is not how China has scripted her history over the last 40 years, because combined with this rapid economic transformation has also been further tightening of the political system. Today, the Communist Party of China is as strong, if not stronger, than it was some years ago. The political freedoms given to the Chinese people are far less today than it was a few years ago. The natural expectation that China will open up politically too, that the CCP would release its controls over the political system of China as it grew economically, that hope has been belied to a large extent. And I say the limits of this economic transformation, but certainly its runoff in the political sphere has been felt, and no more acute than what we have seen over the last few weeks. What's it been? 17 weekends now of straight protest in Hong Kong. It started off with the Hong Kong people protesting against what was an extradition bill. That extradition bill subsequently got shelved, but the protests just don't seem to be ending. Even today, there were massive protests in Hong Kong. There was reportedly even live fire that was opened. The latest that we're getting is that possibly one fatality is feared in that shooting. But clearly, there's been massive protests for the last 3-4 months now in Hong Kong. And I think the Hong Kong people have realized that this is a peculiar time in their own sort of unique history, that they've challenged the Chinese state on one aspect, this extradition bill. They have tasted success, and now they feel that they can extract more out of the powers that be in Beijing. Maybe they can, maybe they can't, I don't know. But the protests seem to be showing no signs of letting up whatsoever. And I think even today, like I said, you know, there were water cannons, there were tear gas used by the Hong Kong police. They're even now using water cannons dipped in blue dye so that they can identify the protesters using that blue dye. And then subsequently, once the protests die down, once they go back home, then go around and pick them up and then put them through what is called, quote-unquote, reformative classes. So it is really a big challenge at a time when China is staking its claim to be at the high table along with the United States. It also has this challenge that's been thrown open so publicly, so nakedly in front of the powers that be in Beijing, that you've got to find a way to deal with the problems in Hong Kong. So let's see how this story plays out over the next few weeks. For now, though, it's going to be a week-long celebrations in China. Ultimately, my own sense is the next 10, 20, 30 years in global politics, the way the world is going to be shaped is definitely going to be shaped by how the United States and China behave towards each other and what the fallout of that may be on the rest of the world. So this trade war with the US and China, that is certainly taking a toll. There are lessons there for India as well. Maybe India can take lessons from what's been happening there and perhaps even try and use some of that, the fallout of that trade war, to its own advantage to improve its own trade relationship with both of these countries. There's a lot that is going to be dependent in the way the relationship between the big two, the G2, as they're informally called, China and the United States, how that shapes up over the next 10, 20, 30 years is going to have a huge bearing on the rest of the world. So with that, I'm going to sign off. This is Zakir Jacob. You can catch me weeknights at 9:25 on Brass Tacks on CNN News 18. Thank you for tuning in. to this podcast.
No debate, no bias, just the news. Rostags with Zucker Jacob.